Hello and welcome. Another week, a short little episode coming from you from the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Zach Kellogg joined by Chris Sturmer. Chris, how are you doing today?
Not too bad, Zach. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. You know, just tired, working, realized we can't do this on Thursday, so we're doing it Wednesday night, you know, doing a little earlier than we usually do, even though we already do it pretty early compared to the games that we talk about. But definitely jumping right into the heart of things, of course, we'll start off with some Vandal football. You know, getting that loss last week against Weber State, number four, number five, Weber State. Yep. Made it interesting late with Nick Romano running back a 97-yard touchdown.
Yeah, definitely.
Kick return, unable to get the onside kick, though. I mean, coming away from that game, I didn't feel awful about the team.
I felt weird. That was a weird loss. Like, the, you know, Northern Colorado, that was just a bad loss. But This was a weird loss.
Yeah.
It just seems like, I don't know, just like we had that Kibido magic, but it's just, you were expecting something like, okay, here we go. Like, we're playing against really good competition, so let's play better than them.
Yeah.
And I mean, really for the most part, second half we really did. It's just almost like too big of a lead.
It was just those fakes. The special teams play, such as the fake punt and the fake field goal that gave them a big first down after a three and out, and then the touchdown from 40 yards out from their punter on the fake field goal. It's just those kind of plays. You take those two away,
I think we could win.
Well, I mean, just by what they won, that game is just instantly already a lot closer.
Oh, definitely.
And it's just, you know, it's hard to prepare for those type of things.
Definitely.
But, I mean, you just have to be ready. If you see the offensive line just split the Red Sea, it's like you should know at that point, like, okay, we got to – because no one is even within 20 yards of him.
Oh, for sure.
Not even
the
safety guy.
It's just – yeah, that play, that field goal just really kind of killed it for Idaho, killed momentum.
We only lost by six. I mean, granted, that was with the Nick Romano kickoff return, but you take that away, it's like that kickoff return, that ties the game up essentially, or gives us the lead with – just under a minute left.
Definitely.
Because I was talking with someone in the press box, and they were saying how, like, towards the end of that game when Weber State ran the ball in for the touchdown, the guy should have just taken a knee on the one-yard line, because then they just could run up the clock and won it. But instead, they scored a touchdown, and almost, if one more miracle would have happened on the outside kick, it would have cost them the game.
Yeah, that is true. There's a lot of factors towards the end of that game. But, yeah, I mean, Weber State, one of the most physical teams Idaho's played this year.
And we hung tough with them.
Charles
Chuckakano had a great, great game.
Oh, man. Nobody could stop him. They had a double team Akano on the side there because he was just bulldozing through that offensive line. Really, for the most part, despite having 41 points on the board, the defense played well.
It didn't feel like they had 41 points. It never felt like they were just running away with it.
Granted, you could say, I mean, Weber State's offense is usually not the best. So to have 41 points be put up by Weber State, you could say it's a bad thing. But at the same time, like, this is a top five team in the nation.
Yeah.
So they're going to find a way to win, and they're going to find a way to overcome. I mean, they were up 13-0, I think so. Yeah, 13-0, and then we scored two touchdowns to take the lead.
Yeah, 14-3, and we were leading them. Yeah. And I was like, what is happening?
Exactly. We thought, like, here we go again. This is just like Eastern. This makes no sense.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it made no sense. Hate to say it, Mason Petrino had a few, you know, late-game interceptions. Not interceptions this
fumbles.
Year. It was fumbles this game.
Granted, some of those came off blindside, which were hard for him.
Yeah.
To realize their guy, like, just came scorching on the end, he tried to get the ball out. I mean, yeah, they're turnovers for him, but I'm not going to put the whole blame on him.
No.
Because someone looks at the press box or at the box score, they're like, oh, this kid had three fumbles, awful game. But it's like, I'd say one of them, the first one where he scrambled and fumbled it, that's his fault.
They didn't really lead the scores a lot like kind of Northern Colorado did. But, I mean, you could really say the same thing for Northern Colorado. It was turnovers and penalties.
Yeah.
Idaho finds a way to beat themselves when I don't know what has happened with this team these past 2 weeks, but it's like, who would have thought that coming off that huge win against Eastern, who has, you know, totally just turned around and has recovered from their loss against Idaho, they have dominated the past few weeks, But us, Vandals, we start 0-2 in Big Sky play going into now Portland State. So
didn't Eastern lose to Sacramento State? Didn't they lose?
Did they? Did they actually lose Sacramento
State? I thought
State?
I saw that
did they
did.
Lose last week? I
thought they lost. Let me double check this because like I thought I saw that they lost to Sac State.
If
I was
they
like,
did,
what?
That's actually because
they were
shocking.
Number 23. I remember after they lost to us, so they dropped like a pretty far way down.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they
yeah,
lost
they
to
did.
Sac State, so they beat
wow.
North Dakota at home. And then they lost 27-48. I was going to say, I thought they got
wow.
throttled by the Hornets. And that was because apparently Sacramento State now. Now I'm like,
yeah, Sacramento State is a really good team.
Now I'm like,
that
that's
not
a team to worry about. But
yeah,
I knew they turned it around and got that 15-point win against North Dakota.
So, I mean,
but
so then maybe now should we say, is Eastern really? Well, we'll see what they do against North
Dakota.
See, Colorado,
that's what I'm trying to get because Eastern was one of the most dominant teams. But then ever since the loss to Jacksonville State,
yeah, they have.
It's just that they've like just haven't been able to get back on the right track because then the loss to Idaho, it's like, what is happening right now? They beat North Dakota. It's like, all right, we can beat a ranked opponent again. Then they lose to Sacramento State big by 21 points.
It's like, well, I mean, they got two big games coming up, Northern Colorado, Montana. I mean
Northern
if you want to compare on Idaho scales, those are the two games to really compare it to. So.
Yeah, I was like, Northern Colorado, I think they'll win that one pretty handily.
Yeah,
I
assume they're not going to Vandal it up.
So. Yeah, and then Montana, that'll be a big decider on where Eastern is. I don't know why we're giving so much time to Eastern right now, but that'll be a big decider on where this team will be going this year.
That is true.
But getting back to Idaho, you know, going on the road now to Portland State, who's had a decent run so far. They beat Southern Utah 52-31, but they lost Idaho State 24-51. So it's kind of
that's the weird one right there with Idaho State. Because
I remember they were pretty good last year. They throttled us by 70-60 points.
Yeah,
and so then to beat Southern Utah, it's just they just totally annihilated them, and now facing against Idaho and then Northern Colorado, it's like this is kind of. Once again, once teams play us, it's just kind of like that's where they can kind of get a feel for themselves.
Yeah.
And you can kind of gauge where they are, at least until they get a couple more games of the season.
It's Portland State's homecoming.
Exactly.
So that's a big one.
But we'll see. I mean, Portland State's never been too bad of an issue. I remember we beat them the first year we went in the Big Sky.
That is true. But Idaho, I don't know if we beat them last year, I'll be honest. I'm not for sure. Let's check here.
So we didn't. We beat them 20-7.
I
remember
we
did.
Yeah, it was a home game. So of course,
and
the only home game we lost
last year. Because
that
was after we got ran out by UC Davis.
Yeah.
But I mean, they aren't a great team, but it's still the Big Sky, so they're gonna put up a fight.
It is the Big Sky. It's their homecoming, and they're at home. Idaho's not.
Yeah.
So
Idaho, I'm gonna guess, is probably gonna pick up a loss in this one. This isn't gonna be one of our picks of the week this week, but I say Idaho, more likely than not, if you had to put money down, they're probably gonna pick up a loss.
I think the safe bet is to bet on Portland State. But I think Idaho has a chance. I hope. That's more I hope than I think. That they can do it. They can finally get a road victory that they've been searching for. Since their last game in the Sun Belt Conference.
In the Sun Belt. That seems like so long ago.
Colton Richardson's coming out party where we thought this is the new guy.
I mean, in all honesty, at Portland State, at Montana, at Northern Arizona, it's either here or at Northern Arizona. I don't see us winning in Missoula.
Oh.
I mean, if we would have beaten Weber.
That'd be crazy. But
if we would have beaten Weber, then it's like, all right, maybe. And we would beat Northern Colorado. It's like, so we can win on the road. We can beat good teams. Can we beat a good team on the road? But as of now, I would say Portland State and then Northern Arizona, that's the two. Those are the two shots we have to try and pick up wins on the road. And I would say Portland State's probably going to be the easier one of the two because it's not right at the end of the year.
And I mean, having that Sacramento State game too as the final home game for the Vandals,
God.
That's going to be
very interesting.
This could be a Montana all over again.
This team is just inconsistent because they always, like you said, they play to level of their competition. So it's like they play really well against the really good teams because they know, okay, we can hang with these guys, but then they don't do anything against the lower level teams. And it's like, all right, what's going on?
Unfortunately, it's nothing new when it comes to Vandal football. You know, it right when you think you figured this team out, you haven't.
Yep.
And, I mean, who knows? We still have half a season to play out.
I'm going to say we're like barely at the halfway point.
They could win out.
Okay. Okay, listen. I like optimism, but I need grounded optimism.
Mace Petrino can get 3 touchdowns a game.
If he can throw for 2, run for 1.
3 picks for the rest of the season.
If that happens, then yeah, I can see us running the table. I just don't. Considering Mason got absolutely lit up against Weber, I think teams are starting to headhunt him a little bit, and I'm a little worried.
A little bit? Just a little bit? That, yeah, they're trying to kill him every game.
And I'm starting to get worried because he was out. I talked to him, and he was like, I was out cold. I was out when on that play where Weber hit him, and he was just on the ground when Andre Carter ran it in.
Yeah.
I think it was Andre Carter. Might have been Thigpen. But Might have been Thigpen. Yeah, I think it was Thigpen. And he was like, I was out cold. He's like, I don't remember anything until I was on the sideline. So it's like, I would say one more game like that, he's probably going to have to enter concussion protocol, and we'll probably see a lot more Colton Richardson.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been impressed with Mason so far this year, but if you keep taking shots like that, no way.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, regardless of who you are, you take shots like that, you're. It's hard to come back from any of those, let alone blindside hit after you hand off the ball for 3 seconds. So, but now transitioning other sports going on, we have Idaho soccer hitting the road, going to Ogden and Idaho State for the Battle of the Domes, first facing off against the Wildcats. All three of these teams, first off, I'll say this, they rank just above last place. So it goes Weber State, Idaho State, and then not 100% certain who the last team is, but we're like right there in that.
So it's the
I think it might be Montana State.
It's the battle to not be last place.
This is the maker. I was talking to Coach Clevenger today. It's the make or break point of this season. If they don't turn around right now, they probably are going to get either a super low seed in the conference tournament or not make the tournament, period.
Man.
This is make or break time because, you know, they lost to Eastern because it's kind of like
the guaranteed victory.
Yeah, and Casey Bruce guaranteeing the victory because he says that, like, it's kind of been like Idaho football, just in kind of what he was saying. It was like every time they lose, it's kind of they shoot themselves in the foot by a missed defensive cover, like a missed defensive assignment, or, you know, a tip ball that doesn't go their way.
Definitely.
Or, you know, those type of things. But it's going on the road against two teams who have a very good chance of beating. It's like, this is your time to make it happen.
Yep.
And now having Natalie Fisher, the senior left back, who's been out for a few weeks with a groin injury. The thing is, last week, they didn't have either one of their left backs starting or backup, with Fisher and Jenna Ephraimson being out of the lineup. They had to put in McKenna Lay, who's just a freshman who hasn't seen any real minutes this year outside of, you know, playing kind of the back half of games that were either total wins or total losses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, having Fisher back, maybe the defense can figure it out and maybe they can get their first shutout of the year. But if there's a time to get that monkey off your back, get your first win, it's in Ogden before you go to Idaho State, where the Battle of the Domes has been electric the past couple years. Even when we weren't very good in 2017 with Olivia Baggerly's last year, we still won it 2-1 within the final 15 minutes. So
you think there's a chance to get away any wins this week?
Yeah, I think we can sweep this week. I think it's...
You've been saying that for a few weeks now.
No, yeah, I know. But honestly,
okay,
like,
okay,
every time, like, I think they can, it's like, in all honesty, it's like,
that's
100% what I think, like, could happen. But then again, with this team being so young, I can see them going 0-2 as well.
Yeah.
But if I had to put my money on it, I'll say 2-0.
I think we're just clinging on to hope for our two beats. You know, like, you know, yeah, they can.
Well, because we see how good they can be, because we've seen them be very good. Like, for soccer, they beat North Dakota, who's a very good team out of the Summit.
And Idaho beat Eastern
and
Washington.
Idaho beat Eastern Washington. It's like, they beat these quality teams. They just need to follow it up beating more of these, not lower-level opponents, but opponents a little bit more at their level, not so high above them.
That's true.
So I think the only thing.
I hate to turn back to Idaho football, but one thing to take away from Weber is they were the fourth best team in the FCS at that time last week. And Idaho only loses by 6 points.
See, If we don't lose to Northern Colorado, we're ranked. And then if we beat Weber State, we're ranked top 15.
Yep.
Easy. I would put money on that.
But we're not.
And okay, so now transitioning, you know, short show this week. You know, we got a lot on our plate here tonight.
Oh yes.
And tomorrow. So for volleyball, they're on the road this week at University of Northern Colorado. Should be a good one. Once again, I mean, As of now, they're able to, they dropped their first one to Montana State, you know, the weekend prior, and then one at Montana, and then one at Eastern Washington. The despite winning 3-1 at Eastern Washington, that concerns me a little bit, because Eastern is not a very good team right now. They are 100% rebuilding the program, and so that worries me a little bit. But the fact that they're able to win at Montana 3-1 gets me a little, makes me feel a little bit better. Especially on the second day of a back-to-back, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, but this team, they're young, but Big Sky play has started, and
I mean, they're 4-1
in conference.
I must say, they're 4-1 in conference after being Portland, Sac State, Montana. So I think they could very well pull off a win against UNC. It'll just depend on the younger players, like Kennedy Warren, Kiara Palmbush, that is, and Nikki Ball, along with Delaney Hopin being in the back. But, I mean, you take a look at Northern Colorado, they're 4-0 right now. They swept Montana State. They swept Montana. They swept Weber, and they won 3-1 against Idaho State.
I think this will be the first real true test for this this young team.
I think so,
true,
too.
Real tough Big Sky test for this young team. Buchanan has said time after time again how close-knit this group is, even compared to last year's stellar group. So, if there's any time to really come together, it's going to be now against Northern Colorado.
Yeah, and, I mean, time just keeps ticking until Idaho has to go out and face Northern Arizona, which will be next week on the 17th. Northern Arizona, far and away the best team in this conference, not even close.
Definitely.
But I mean, if we're able to get a win at Northern Colorado, I mean, that'll be huge. And then we come back home after having about 5 days off to rest, because as of now, we haven't played since October 8th on Tuesday. And then we are playing Saturday, October 12th. So, I mean, we have time.
Definitely.
So, I would say if we went at UNC, we have a good chance. Not a good chance. We have a better chance of beating Northern Arizona.
Yeah. Overall, let's say it's an optimistic weekend coming up for Vandal Sports.
Yep, and I would have to 100% agree. Very optimistic weekend. I think a chance for a lot of wins. We've been saying that a lot, but this is probably the best one we've had realistically.
You can trust us this time. Maybe.
Please just don't lose. All right, and now switching to the back half of our show. No break right now, but we'll just hop right in. So we'll jump, I guess, into our picks of the week. Since you know, we're only got about 10, 12 minutes here left for today's show. So looking back at last week, Chris had a bit of a comeback. I had a lead in our picks of the week. In case you don't know, we have a running record of the games of the week that we have. And Chris was able to make a run, almost swept the weekend.
Definitely.
If he would have picked, stuck with his gut for the Auburn Florida game.
Yeah, I messed up there. But hey, you know, things happen, and I know I'm going to dominate again this week. So.
Yeah, I had a record of 12-4. Chris had a record of 10-6, and now we're both 13-7. I got Jacksonville at Carolina wrong. I picked Jacksonville. They lost by 7. Green Bay at Dallas. You got that right. I don't know why I put my money on Dallas. I'm an idiot. I hate the Cowboys. So
yeah, never trust the Cowboys.
I was blinded by the fact that they haven't played anyone yet. We both got Weber right, and then we both got Auburn, Florida wrong.
Yep.
But so this week we have the undefeated San Francisco 49ers going to the 3-2 now LA Rams, who came in with a loss against the Seattle Seahawks in those beautiful neon uniforms up in CenturyLink.
Yeah, we get it.
Didn't you want some time? We got a little bit of time if you want to, you know, give glory to the Colts.
I was, you know, we'll wait until the end of the show.
We'll wait till the end.
We'll wait till the end. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll wait till the end.
But, you know, Seattle picked up that win. Greg Zuerlein missed the game-winning field goal. We were able to pull out a 30-29 win. The Rams, you know, heading back home, had a bit of a longer week now to recover. I mean, just without Todd Gurley able to get going, they rely a lot on Jared Goff, who can get it done. I mean, he drove down nearly 70 yards to set up Zuerlein with a chip shot field goal almost. And, I mean, he pretty much tore that defense apart that relatively kept him in a decent in check for the most part in the second half. So, in this one, I mean, then you have the Niners who completely destroyed Cleveland on Monday Night Football. I mean, what do you make of this? Who do you think is going to be able to pull this one out? Because you got the defending NFC champions and the hottest team in the NFC.
It's tough because, I mean, with the Rams, you think, okay, they're going to bounce back. Because it wasn't like a bad loss.
I'm going to say, if this
it
is a week.
It wasn't a bad loss.
If there's a week to bounce back, it's probably this week after you lose at home big against the Bucs and then on the road in a close game against Seattle and you're traveling back home.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers defense is no joke. That is one thing to take away. 49ers defense is no joke. Jimmy G is getting the job done. And Kyle Shanahan may be just as smart or even smarter than Sean McVay.
Yeah.
I mean, now having his full arsenal, what he's been able to do with that team is extraordinary. I mean, Sean McVay has skilled players at every position, well-known skilled players.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan, I don't know if you really say the same. I mean, you don't have a Todd Gurley in the back. You don't have Cooper Kupp and these wide outs.
I mean, they have Breida in the backfield, Pettit on the outside with a Goodwin.
Yeah.
I believe is who that is. And, you know, they,
I mean, you do have a George Kittle, though. You got a George
I mean,
Kittle.
George Kittle, I mean, that's – but, yeah,
more
it's
reliable.
Like these teams almost mirror each other just, you know, in different ways. I mean, Nick Bosa – I'm not going to compare Nick Bosa to Aaron Donald yet, but, you know – two great defensive ends who are already making Nick Bosa already making noise in the NFL. It's like
I think it's going to come down to the defenses on both teams. We could see a shootout or we could see a stalemate. I don't think there's no really in between for this game. And honestly, I'm going to go Rams.
You're going Rams. Okay.
I'm going Rams.
I'm going Niners. It kills me to say that as a Seahawks fan.
I'm going
fan.
To go to the Rams.
But I think the Niners will pull it off. I think Sherman has that defense in check. You know, they've been playing really well. I mean, Sherman no longer a member of the Legion of Boom, but I still respect the man, and he's been doing a great job down there in the Bay. I can't wait for Seattle and San Fran to meet. We'll definitely have that as a pick of the week. But, you know, it's so far, I mean, I got to go with the hot hand right here, and I got to go with San Francisco. And I think they'll win. Ooh, I think it'll be 38-35, somewhere in there. It'll be a close one. You know, I think it'll be a bit of a shootout.
I think
Garoppolo
so
will have two, three touchdowns. Goff will have 2-3 touchdowns as well. So
I'm saying Rams win 38-30.
Okay, let me get this down real quick. This is interesting game. You know, another one that can kind of go 50-50. So I said 38-35, San Fran, and you said
38-30 Rams.
Okay. And so you want to segue us into our other pick of the week? So we're only having two this week, one NFL, one college. So take us into the
Red River rivalry.
Say that five times fast.
I'm not going to, Zach. I'm not going to. Good old Texas Longhorns, number 11th team in the nation versus Jalen Hurts and the Oklahoma Sooners, number 6 team in the nation.
Yeah.
Zach, this is a toss-em-up. This is a toss-em-up game. I mean, you have Jalen Hurts and that Oklahoma offense and Lincoln Riley versus Texas, Sam Ellinger and company. When Texas pulled it off last year against Kyler Murray. Okay, so if there's any team that knows how to stop this Oklahoma offense, it's Texas.
Yeah. So, you know, like, out of the last two teams outside of, like, Alabama to beat Oklahoma, it's been Houston and Texas.
Yes.
Both led by Tom Herman.
Yep.
So, Herman and his defensive coordinator now, Orlando, can't remember off the top of my head, but those two guys, the last two times OU has lost has been to those two. So, they're back together once again, you know, at Texas. Who do you got in this one?
This is tough.
It's literally a 50-50.
Really,
like,
I could say either name and I'll be confident in it. I mean, it's like part of me is like, it's Tom Herman, but another part is like, you're just going to make Lincoln Riley mad and he's going to score 70 points on you, you know?
Like, see, I remember like last year just was such a storybook finish. You had Kyler Murray get the touchdown, Ellinger lead the Longhorns down, where Dicker the kicker was able to, you know, kick through that game-winning field goal as time expired. It's just like, there was no better finish it could have had for that. But it was just I feel it was one of those storybook games that'll go down as one of the best in the Red River rivalry's history.
Yep.
All right, on the count of three, let's say who we're going to pick, all right? One, two, three.
Oklahoma.
See, I thought you were going to go Texas, but
I really thought so too, but I don't know, man. Jalen Hurts is tearing it up. That's all I can think about. CeeDee Lamb
and Jalen Hurts.
Is that offense, man?
I think it's just too good.
This might be the best offense they've had throughout these past 3 years with Baker and Kyler
but once
and
again,
now Jalen.
It's a 50-50. Once again, I could easily say, oh, Texas's defense will stop the run, force Jalen to throw, and CB University, as I said before, LSU, it's like they could very well come alive in this one.
Yeah, I'm picking Oklahoma to win.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be a high scoring game.
Yep.
I say 40-37. They win on a field goal.
Okay. I'm thinking a similar thing. It's gonna be a bit of a shootout. For this one, I'm gonna say 42-35. By a touchdown, OU. And it kills me because I hate Oklahoma. I hate the University of Oklahoma because, you know, I grew up a Bronco fan. So
yep, I get it.
That 07 Fiesta Bowl, you know, it was a beautiful thing. And so that's why, like, I spite Adrian Peterson just because of that. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I think Oklahoma just has the better. I think it just comes down to offense. And if I don't think opposing defense will be able to stop the opposing team's offense because it is the Big 12.
Definitely.
But I think Hurts, just at the level he's playing at, I don't think anyone can stop him. I think we had the great game last year. I think it'll be followed up this year with a game that'll be exciting but not as great as last year's. I think it'll still come down to the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left, and then OU will get that touchdown, or like you said, we'll get a late field goal.
Yeah. But, Zach, we're missing out on the game of the week. Idaho versus Portland State. Who are you taking?
Idaho.
Ooh, really? Just that quickly. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm probably taking Idaho too. I think it's going to be close. I say.
Well, we didn't say this is going to be our picks. One of our picks of the week this week. Remember, we said we were going to talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think they're going to win. 21-20.
Yeah, I think Idaho will win though.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't change anything since we both think Idaho will
win.
So let's just
Honorary
pick of the week that we won't count towards the records. We both think Idaho will win.
Mike Leach. What's your Mike Leach?
Mike Leach. Okay, so the last segment of our show, we got a couple minutes left here for the craziest sports headline or moment that we saw this last week. It's got to be Ben Simmons knocking down his first career three.
And Boban.
And
Steven Adams.
And Steven Adams. You know, all three of those guys knocking home threes. One of them should be making threes at more consistent pace. Ben Simmons. I'm not, seeing him finally do that and just seeing the overwhelming reaction, like Joel Embiid standing behind the three and was like, go.
Definitely.
Go. Go. And then as time was ticking down, he's like, all right, and just threw it up and knocked it down. It's just
one of the best moments in NBA history.
It will go down. Where were you when Ben Simmons made his first three-pointer?
Well,
it's right up there with Jordan's flu game or the shot,
yep.
Kareem's 100 points, LeBron or Kyrie's game winner against the Warriors. Ben Simmons making a three in the preseason against a Chinese team.
Now let me tell you about one of the best NFL moments in history.
Hello there, listeners. Just a brief little break in the podcast right here, adding this in after the fact. What is about to come next is Chris going full Hulk fanboy moment where he literally levels out the audio to where it's almost as high as it can possibly go. So word of advice, might want to turn down the volume by a few hundred decibels to make sure that you don't blow your eardrums out. Yes, Chris gets very excited in this next segment and what he's about to talk about. So just take a step back, turn your volume down and get ready for Chris being the ultimate Colts fanboy. Thank you all for listening again. Back to the podcast.
Yeah. How about them Colts, baby? How about them Colts?
All right. Yep.
Pulling it off over the Chiefs in Arrowhead. You know what they did, Zach? They ran the ball. And that's all we're going to do this
Marlon
season.
Marlon Mack.
We're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball all the way to the playoffs. And you're going to owe me a Subway sandwich. You know why? Because the Colts will be the best team in the AFC.
In the AFC?
Okay, maybe not in the AFC. But we're going to be really competitive, and we could go to the Super Bowl. We could go to the Super Bowl. So watch out, Zach.
I mean, granted, the Lions did almost beat the Chiefs, so.
Hey, we held the Chiefs.
To 13 points. Yes.
Only team with Patrick Mahomes has done that. So
over the last year and a half. I will give you guys credit. I didn't think that was going to happen. But you guys, even without Darius Leonard.
Obi-Wan Jacoby. Marlon Mack, they did it all, baby.
Yeah,
they did
it all. I will give a lot of credit to that Colts offense and the defense and just how well they played against Patty Mahomes. I wasn't expecting it, but they were able to pull it off. And big respect to them. hopefully they lose their next few and fall out of playoff contention.
Hey, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
All right, that'll be all for us this week. Once again, short show. Hope you all enjoyed listening. You know, we got a busy, busy schedule on our hands. It's the only time we had that could really fit it in. As always, I am Zach Kellogg, joined by Chris Dermery. Catch us both on Twitter. My username, @Kellogg_Zach. Chris, @Chris_Dermer. Dermer, all upstyled. DEREMER. Catch all of our works at thevandalnation.com, UIArgonaut.com. Catch my video game series over there. All of our sports stuff over at The Vandal Nation. You can also check all of our stuff we're making for broadcasting over at Inside the Vandals on Facebook,
plug,
Twitter, you know, and also on YouTube. So thank you all for listening. And as always, go Vandals.
Roll Vandals.